Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Today is our counselor, Ahmed Tariq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Better late than never. Ahmed, how are you doing?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Mark, there was a little bit, sometimes in these phones you have a little bit cuckoos, just get into it, then we have a problem. But alhamdulillah, everything is sorted out now.
No, alhamdulillah, like people will get into depression if Ahmed Tariq doesn't come on the segment. Straight talk with Ahmed Tariq. Ahmed, talking about straight talk, what's the latest on the kafan dafan side?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, there's no issues with, in terms of the kafan side. Only the accident last week, Monday, that 90 vehicles and there's 5 people were deceased there at the scene. There was Alindar gave us a lot of assistance there. My phone was buzzing for right till about midnight. But everything is sorted out. The ambulance service from Maritzburg and all over Northern Natal assisted. So alhamdulillah, everything did, but none of our Muslim brothers or sisters. But there was a lot of damages to vehicles. A lot of vehicles had to be written off. They cannot be repaired. But, everyone is sound and sorted out at the moment. So there's no issues or anything like that.
Alhamdulillah, no issues indeed. And, I was just reading an article, and we feel sorry for the non-Muslims. It's so expensive to die. But then they bring in, the will has to be wound and, transfer duties and this and that. But in the House of Islam, we affect it to a little bit, when it comes to transfer and so forth. But generally, when it comes to the burial, we are very blessed indeed, Ahmed.
Fortunately, alhamdulillah, we have got a very, very good, Islam has got a very good, unique system in terms of burial. It's very, very simple. 3 sheets of calico and the burial services throughout the country. If you have got monies, you pay. If you do not have, it is fi sabilillah and we bury you. That's the important part. But the part that what happens is, after death, that is, when people leave, they're winding up the state, that has become a major issue in with our community. They just leave it and they 3 years, 4 years, some of them go after 10, 12, 15 years. Then they eventually, there's another debt in the family and they've got monies in the state and they cannot wind. Now you have to start winding up not one state, 3, 4 states before you can even get your money, because that's how bad it becomes. So therefore I say, to the community, if you have a family has deceased, far as possible, in some cases, the husband has passed away after the Iddat period, 4 months and 10 days, try and get a lawyer, try and see best, which go to some people who understand how to draw, to assist them in terms of getting the will sorted out, as well as the state to be winded up, and get it quick as possible so that, the heirs are not suffering in the process, because it's most cases, there's orphans are involved and therefore it takes a lot of time and death. They can't do it. Some of them don't have IDs. They don't have paperwork to get. And, we have got, alhamdulillah, a lot of members in the community, advocates, lawyers, and in some cases, if they cannot afford it, they are prepared to assist them for a small fees or something like that. In some cases, they haven't got anything. You can even use Zakat money to wind up the state and get things sorted out, because in the end, it becomes too expensive, because now you have to wind not one state, 2, 3, 4 states just before you could get down to your state to get your monies out of trust from there, because everything is seized. You cannot do anything. Even in fact, yesterday Mikey actually, you're very good.
My classmate, yeah.
Okay. And he was telling me, Ahmed, now my nephew asked if. He said, we are looking in Spingo Beach for a land to do a Kabristan. I said, find the land, do everything and come to me. That's all. Just I will do from A to Z the application, bring the geotech, to test the soil, check the soil. I'll get an engineer to make sure the streams, where the streams are running. In every land you'll find, even in your house, you'll find streams are running and how deep is those streams, whether you can bury the soil content, how much of soil salt is got. Every single thing in terms of that, I can get it done, and we will do the application, and it will get approved because, you know, and this is a private cemetery. Make sure it is being fully fenced and all that, and how we want to do the plan and everything, and then we can do it. They're allowing for that. There's no such thing that you cannot open a private cemetery, Shafat.
Look at this message on the screen, and it's from Habib. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tarak and Bruce Chef. What a great show. And I must tell you, you'll really bring it alive. Your experience come through. I'm making lots of du'as for you. Ahmed Tarak, when is your book coming out? You've been promising us for many years now." Ahmed, he's got you like a checkmate here. How you respond to him?
Shafat, the man who was going to do my book for me, poor fellow passed away. Farooq Khan, he was an editor at Daily News, you know, a very good editor at Daily News. I got to know him many, many years when I started the Kafan work. I met him, I don't know, off chance or anything. He just had liking for me. And after that, anything, he wanted a story or anything, accident case, murder, anything, he wanted, one stop it was. He used to phone me, or he used to come to the office. Right, Ahmed, tell me when the body came, how many bullet wounds were there, where it happened, all the whole rundown I could give you, because you know what, I was on scene of the accident, I was in the scene of the murder, for you know, all these things I used to give him. So he used to put it, and he used to give us very, very good mileage for Islamic Burial Council as well in the place. Up to today, we still get that, alhamdulillah, Shafat. But then, the question is when the book is coming. Inshallah, you know, my council work and all that. I am going to inshallah one day sit down and start making notes. And in fact, I got some notes and I got some old pictures and everything. You know, with the body where I was on the scene of an accident, and you know the one I went to just near Richards Bay, 300 nautical miles. Out on the sea with SAPS to pick up the body from a ship, you know, all that is like that is still embossed in me. So, you know, all these things, you can never repeat it. You cannot get it back to nowadays, you know. So that's why, inshallah, when Allah wills, I'll do a small book. Shafat, you know, I've been always saying is for the last, this maybe the last 2-3 months, the Israeli days are numbered now, Shafat. They can see what is happening all over the world. These protests is coming, and also in their own country, thousands of people are marching on a day-to-day basis regarding the issues that they are facing. And I think this is an indication the time has come for them to start doing a total reform and start giving in what is rightfully is owned by the Palestinians. And I think the time is very, very close, and they will eventually have to give in because the pressure is coming from all over the world, Shafat. So that is a major issue, and I don't know how the president of Israel is going to take it. He's always ducking and diving the issue here. The Americans cannot help him anymore because he hasn't got a grip on that. Issue there, because now also the dollar, they're going to devalue the dollar very, very soon in the next couple of months. That is going to start happening. Things are starting to happen now. You can see the light under the tunnel here. And then in Mali, you know, this Mali issue, it was an ongoing thing, issue that was coming through on a regular basis. And, you know, now people have lost their lives in the conflict of this Mali thing. I hope this thing gets we resolve once and for all, Shafat.
Yeah, looking at a message from Yunus here. It says, "Assalamu alaikum. Great chat, Bruce Chef and Ahmed Tarak. Keep up the good work. You really make lots and lots of people listen to Marcus Sahaba with your Consciously Connected program. Jazakallah khairah once again. Ahmed, I want to tell you that I have two sons attending the University of KwaZulu-Natal, and students in that part of the Durban are having it very, very rough, Ahmed. Last week, this students' cell phones, laptops, and money were stolen, and these thugs and thieves are getting away with impunity. The security can't do anything. Sometimes even the lecturers' cars are burnt and buildings are set alight. Why is Tikweni allowing this? Forget the government. We know Cyril Ramaphosa is a lost account. How do you respond to this, brother Ahmed?
As far as the universities are concerned, some of the colleges are concerned, the Tikweni municipality do not have any due restriction over them. That's number one. Number two is it comes via the province, comes from the education department, and it's been handled by them. But we have been getting complaints on a regular basis in terms of some of the government schools, some of the things that are taking place. And that is a major issue. But as far as this is concerned, the university was far as security, but they do have security. I think that the university need to take it up with province, and they have to do something about it. And then if they cannot get any joy from there, they can always bring it through to my office. And then, in fact, we will then take it up very, very strongly via the Tikweni municipality to the province and say, these are the problems that we are facing with. If they cannot respect the lecturers, the assets of the university, and burning things, it takes thousands and millions of rands to build an infrastructure, and especially in universities, some of the books are, it's very, very vital books, and equipment is there, and then it's being destroyed. It makes it very, very difficult to restart this whole university issue again. But the brothers have got a major concern. They can write to me or send me an email, WhatsApp or anything. I can take it on their behalf on that. Then I've been doing Shafat this week. I have visited about maybe two schools already, and you'll see what the feeding school on the schools have been getting subsidy from the government, and they have given it out on tender, and the tender has been given out to sub-tenders, and you must go and see. In fact, some of the pictures I've already got on my phone, I can send through to you. Rotten cabbages, rotten potatoes, you must see. And this was supposed to be given to the schools. They do a lunch feeding for them, or soup kitchen they have in the schools. And I went this week to the two schools that don't want to mention the names, and I will tell you, Shafat, it is pathetic. We took rice, we took potatoes, and we took some of the other stuff there. We managed to get, and we took all these things, and we went to the school and gave it to the principal. And the principal and the school governing body was not scared. They faced the media head on with us there, and we bring it. This thing, this whole coming week, we're going to visit maybe another couple of schools as well, and we're getting all that information, and we're going to take the Tikweni municipality and the mayor, the city manager, we're going to take them head on, and we want that contract from them. Whoever the contract was given must be cancelled with immediate effect, and any monies was given, that person should be charged immediately and brought before the court, because you're making people, the students, sick actually. And it was sad, Shafat, when you see it was so bad, you won't believe it. Now, I've already put some things together with all my contacts as well. The rice guy has came to the party. Alhamdulillah, Gorkis. And Gora was very, very, very kind enough. He assisted us already with the rice and feeding all the soup kitchens with it. And then a friend of mine who's at the bulk market with potato, at least with rice, and they make a nice potato curry. Those children, the students and all are happy with that. They got a good one, good meal, because a person cannot function without eating. And in the breakfast in the morning, they got absolutely nothing. They send bread, Shafat. That bread must be like 5 days or 6 days old bread. That is, now that is almost drying up, and all they're sending it to the children to eat, and it's not right. So this is an issue that we are taking it up with the education department. And we're going on full debate on national television and everything. This week is going to be a drama week in terms of education. And we want to bring them down to his knees. And if they don't stop that contract immediately, we will do whatever it takes, even if to bring an application. to block that payment for going forward, Shafar.
Yeah, Balnanda, Ahmed, then it's sad indeed, giving the kids the stale bread to eat and all that, really very detrimental to their health. And looking at a message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan and Ahmed Tarak, both my beach boy's favorite. Okay, Jazakallah. Ahmed, you know me well, but I can't give my name because the O's will sky me here. But here in Springer Beach, we had this fire, Ahmed. And now when the councillors came and the Itikreni people came here and they told them, we'll give you alternative, these people in the informal settlements are refusing to move because it's so easy, it's cozy for them. Some of them are driving BMs, are living in this informal settlement. They're getting free milk, they're getting free bread, and I believe they get acne three times a day. Ahmed, please, government should wake up and see that these are parasites, that these are not people that really need these shelters. When they're given out alternatives, they insist they want to live where there was a disaster. Put your finger on the pulse, Ahmed, and tell us what should be done really. Ahmed?
Okay, Shafat, on Wednesday, I was there with my full delegation, with my chairperson and a full team. We were there. We brought in some whole clothes, some clothing for the people. I brought in some buckets, you know, the 20-liter buckets for the people that needed water so they can at least got one 20-liter bucket in their shack. Some of the shacks, there's about 350 shacks was totally destroyed. And I see there's a rebuilding started again. Now, as soon as that wind went out, that Action SA is on scene, you won't believe it. The mayor came out there when I was leaving at about 3 o'clock. The deputy mayor came there because we did a full assessment of the whole thing, what is happening there and everything. So when they saw this thing here is going to go out of proportion, and when Action SA come, we take the bull by his horn and we go press. We had the press there. We had ETV there, SABC newsroom, and we press a button. That's how the contact we have built, and with via my chairperson and myself. We pressed the button, and they were always there. And furthermore, we have in our Action essay, we have a fully-fledged media team. You know, like how you get journalists coming to the scene and everything. We have that component. We came with our own photographers and all. Because sometimes Daily News and ETV and all don't give you the full coverage. They do their best. Because of time restriction and all that. But when we want to put in the paper and all that, we put the real stuff. Because now we have captured it from the informal settlement, from the John Dolls and all that. So when they came to know the city, that call went out, Shafat, they were in. They had to close the road because now the mayor is coming, then the ANC brought in about 120 cars. They're all following up. And because when we came there, we were moving and we were making things happen. We were starting. Then they saw that, you know, my chairperson was on the with every national television and all that. So now they want to get left out, so they came in. But on the whole, we had the mileage in terms of what actually happened and why the city is failing in its duties. When you have, you know, those people there, they should take all those people, bust them, and go to the city hall and do a massive toy day. The city had Shafat 122 million for informal settlement for housing. They didn't do anything in the current year to allocate that money and give it out on contract or start building up low cost housing. They didn't do anything. National government took that money away. Now, how stupid can you be? When you have got, Shafat, if you got for your station or to do your offices, there's an allocation of 200 or 300,000. What do you do? Immediately you'll get 5-6 codes, you know, the painter, your new equipment, the state-of-the-art equipment, new desk, new thing, and then start taking your older stuff out and redo that thing, bring it to another notch. But they did nothing about it and the money was lost, Shafat. This is what happened in the city. So we are taking it. There's a meeting coming up this week. So all these things want to come up, and we are fighting. We're telling the people, don't cry by us with Action SA. Cry by the ruling party when they had the money for you and what they did with the money. Yes, they didn't do anything about it. They forgot you all at the informal settlement, the Jondal, and the money was lost back to National. And that money will get chowed up anytime. You know what happens in government, right? But the long and the short is, the issue is that the ruling party, they will leave, they want these things. They make sure they will drag it, they will do anything. They won't do anything now to give them RDP houses or anything. They won't do it. There is one reason so far. Election is around the corner. These are, if they take them out, they're lost completely because those are the ones that they go and vote for the ruling party. That is the problem. What they will do now next year, the election will come sometime in June or July. They will start to build now the kitty. They will go to Shafat Ahmed Khan. They said, Shafat Ahmed Khan, you got this. This is you the Amir of this, or you the donor of that, you the chief of this section. You know, when you go to informal, they got all the guys there in between. That guy is the chief of that area, that you know, they demarcate their own territory itself. So nobody put their nose into the wrong places and everything. So go through it. They say, there's one, $3,000 for you there. This is so much of grocery for you. And they're telling me how many people here. They'll tell you, you know, I'm controlling 120. So they'll give that 20,000 rand or 1,500 rand, good hampers. Now that 20 goes to the nearby guys and all. Hey, listen here. See what the ruling party gave us. See what the ANC gave us. Hey, what this is. Now that word flies. And with them, you tell one guy that he filters down them. They say, hey, no, we will also get. And then they promise them, hey, the houses are coming and everything. Then those poor people fall into the trap. They have to wait another 5 years again before they can do anything. They only took 1,500 then, and the living conditions are still same. That's what happened, Shafa.
Ahmad, very comprehensive indeed. And whilst you're at it, so in other words, that informal settlement, they'll be building RDP houses there. They are there for good. They're good to stay there. They're going to stay there forever. I mean, it started with how many? To 50 people, 200 people. Now, I don't know what it mushroomed out to be. I mean, that aerial, photo you see of it is all over the world. They know what that is. There's a sea view, and people are doing that. So what's already going to happen? The government is playing a stalling game. So the government is, maybe how many informal settlements we have throughout the country? 5,000, 10,000, Allahu Alam, maybe you can give us figures. So the government is depending on votes like that to keep them in power. Shouldn't they be ashamed, Ahmad?
100%, Shafas. The thing is, this government is that's what they did to brainwash them, and that's how they want to hold on to it. And now they went into bed with the EFF. Now you know that made it even more difficult now, because the EFF went into bed with the ANC, and they want to hold on to power. They're not going to give up the power of the city, of this province, or National. They are going to, but their time has come. That the people on the ground have realized. They're not going to get anything. As far as the housing is concerned, now that after the mayor and the deputy mayor came to the informal settlement in Spingo Beach, Dakota, and everything, they said now they're going on press and say that we have already identified, listen to this very, very carefully. We have identified a massive piece of ground, and we will be putting up houses, and we'll be moving all those people there that got affected, and the whole entire area will be cleared up. Now, Shafat, you know when that is going to come. That election will come, next election will come, nothing will happen. This is how they work. Now, they put a bait now. Now, all those people there are thinking, hey, in the next year or so, we vote for them, we're getting an RDP house. They get a 40 square meter RDP house. That's what they want to get, but it's not going to happen. But they're not going to be put up there. The RDP houses are not going to be located in Dakota and Spingo Beach, that's for sure. Because when I went on the top, Shafat, it is unbelievable the view that Jondolos and the people got from the top, the informal settlement. The view, it is, it's mind-boggling in an informal settlement to have a view like that. I don't even think people have got house worth 10 million got view like that. They have got your money.
Hey, Ahmad, you're making me chuckle here, but I'm looking at the messages here. It looks like some brothers are not happy. This brother says, yeah, Assalamu alaikum. He gives his name, but he says, please, Chef, don't mention my name. Ahmad Parak, you the man of truth. Please tell us who allowed this informal settlement to be put there in Sipingo Beach. Surely it wasn't the right move. Please, Ahmad, was it politicking by certain individuals? Ahmad, how do you respond to that?
Shafak, I just mentioned earlier, they have brought, they created this in the whole city. If you take the whole city, we've got almost about 800,000 informal settlement in the whole city. 800 informal settlements. Take Sipingo Beach. For my calculation purpose was about 15,000 people are there. In the court of Sipingo Beach. It's 15,000. And each householder has got 3-4, 3-4, 3-4. And they only lost, take the 350, if you take 350 houses that those informal settlement houses were burnt and a week ago, 350 households at 4 or 5 in a house, what happens? You see the numbers, how it is. And there are thousands there. If you take 3,000 informant at 5, what figure you get, Shafak?
15,000 people.
15,000 people. That's what is there, Shafak. I went there and I walked and walked into the burnt area. I went all right through, right from the top, from Dakota Beach, we walked right through. From the top we started, we came down, we parked our vehicles there, we gave them the clothing, we gave them the buckets, we gave them whatever we could give them, and then we went to Dakota, and then when they saw us, Shafar, those ANCs, their blood would be from the toes, but be gone into their head because they know. Now the problem has started because these guys here, they came with a bang, with their internal photographers, internal media, and they know that that's our most strong points. First thing what we did was, when I came into power here, I made sure we have a fully fledged media team with our everything of our own, with the cameras that work like how any other independent media station works. We come with the bank there and we take photos. One way we go to town, we do everything. Interview with the people that lost their informal settlement, their housing there, how many is going to school, where they're working, all that information we have already got. And then we also got information that how the ruling party comes the election time, what they do and everything. They say we're still here because of they promised us. That's why we couldn't move because, you know, we didn't want to miss the boat because they promised us a house, an RDP house. We're still waiting here. And this is the fifth election has gone. We're still here, Shafar. That is it. They started with 50. When I was in Sipingo Beach, there was only a few on the top only. And today that thing has mushroomed to 15,000. In fact, if they don't do anything about it in the next year or so, you'll have about 25,000. The value of the property in Sipingo Beach has decreased by 20%.
Look at this message here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ba Shafa'at and Ahmad Aparak. Please, Ahmad, could you tell us how many foreign nationals are living in this Sipingo Beach informal settlement? I believe also there are Bangladeshis, Pakistanis also living in that part, but a lot of Mozambicans and Nigerians are in the mix. Why is this allowed? When will Home Affairs clear these people out? Ahmad?
Shabbat, yes. The brother is 100% right. There was quite a few foreign nationals there. There were some Indian families there, which I met personally. And some of them, you know, because they know a non-Muslim it was, and they're making salam to me because they saw me with my beard or whatever. They were speaking to us and telling us, you know, they're here and they can't go anything now. They're sitting there and some of them were playing some. They had this Malawi, they play with the a different kind of ludo sort of things, you know. There was about 5-6 of them. So I interviewed a few of them and that, what's this game about? You know, I was curious to know, and they were telling me this is how we play in Malawi and all that. So they were showing us that. Then I asked, how many people are here? They say, no, yeah, we have so many years. There's one or two Bangladeshis, but not too many Bangladeshis or anything like that. But the Malawi brothers are quite a few there, Shafat. You know, maybe the ISO, so when I was there, there was about 20, 30. Going further down, you know, they've maybe gone to work because their shacks were not burnt or anything, but there's quite a few. There could be a couple of hundred as well there. You know, this is, it was very, very sad to see what is happening. And you know, that you have to, the first thing I do is making sure they get water. I go anywhere and I first assess is water. Once you give water to the householder, at least you got something, because any hot days and all that. So we have worked out a system where we give them buckets, 20-liter buckets. At least it can keep them for a day. So the next day you have to go to wherever the tap was and they were filling up from there. And then we gave them some clothing and all that. But it's sad. It is very, very sad. And nothing is going to happen in the next year. This is all a hope that they're giving the people in Dakota Beach, that, you know, this thing from a small gas cylinder, a person was cooking and it, the gas leaked out, and this is what happened. How many people? Fortunately, there's nobody got hurt or anything. Nobody got burnt or anything like that. So, you know, they were lucky at this. People started moving very quick, but they lost whatever was there.
Yeah, Mother, already, yeah, this message is making me smile, yeah. And it is from, who's it from? Yeah, Hassan. Hassan says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz, Ahmad Apadak. You guys are doing a brilliant autopsy on Dakota. Yeah, absolutely. Ahmad is doing an autopsy there, not me. And he says, Ahmad Parak, I want to tell you that I heard these stories that these people, when you give them milk, they say, no, we don't want milk, but we rather prefer the creamers. Why are they so choosy, Ahmad? Are they spoilt by the local community, or are they holding the local community at ransom by saying, if you provide me with fooding and all these stuffs, then we will not rob and steal from you? How do you respond to Hassan there, Ahmad?
Shabbat, Hassan is right in that sense, because you know what? Some of them are very, very arrogant. Firstly, they're living in these conditions, but they're very, very arrogant. You know, when you give them something too, they won't even tell you thank you. Number two is now they've been choosy that they don't want this. You know, some of them saying, no, we don't like your people's biryani. Give us the money. And I've been in that situation as well. You know, our Fuad Solomon from Natal Box Factory. He's been doing a splendid piece of work. They're giving them acne there on a regular basis. And they say, no, we don't want this acne. Some of them say, why are you bringing chicken? Why you didn't bring mutton? You know, I can't understand. You know, instead of making sugar and taking what you're getting, the way you're living, you know, they want what they want and all that. So I said, you know what, if that is the case, I told that guy one day while I was helping for day, I said, then you must go and work. Then you won't have to stand in this line or anything like this. Yeah. So, you know, these things happen,
Shobha. I think, Ahmad, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, they're standing in the queue and they're being so arrogant. And in the sight of Allah, the worst person is an arrogant beggar. That one that's begging, but he's got arrogance like that. And I mean, asking for coffee creamers, asking for this and that, because it's cozy. It's cozy for them because they're being spoiled, Ahmad. Am I right in my assumptions?
100%, Shabbat. And you know, they know our weak point. The Muslims are the only people, they will see when this fire took place, who are the first forerunners in this whole thing? Alim Dar came to the party, Hussein Mullah, he mobilized his people there from Springo Beach, and in no time, they were starting to get blankets, they were starting to get this, that, and they know, for them, it's living in comfort. Only thing is they don't have a brick house. It is an informal house. They know they're getting the meals on a regular basis. They're getting the municipality to put water for them there. They only thing have to carry the water and take it to the shack. Everything else they're getting. The bread vehicle comes in the morning and they've got one or two brothers that send 500 loaves of bread. So they know bread is getting delivered. You know, this is what is happening there. So that is... for them, it's like, you know, why do I have to go and work when things are coming to my doorstep?
Ahmad, you know, I tell you, what a great chat this morning, and Allah bless you as usual. I enjoyed your input. I mean, you given me what you call an inside view of everything what happened, and you know, great chat indeed. Perhaps your parting words this morning.
Shabbat, no, you know, these issues that we are facing is just the beginning of the tip of the iceberg, which you can call. You know, the load sharing is going to be, at the moment, is going to speak to about six, is going to six, and is going to stage 10. And if it goes there, the whole country is going to come to a standstill. Your production level, in fact, the change both have now, you never have seen over the years, they're reducing staff now. So all these things have been compounded. And, you know, most clothing factories you will find are on short time. You know, normally this year we come in clothing, we work at a bank. Beside the Better End factory, the other factories haven't got work. They're crouching for work at the moment. Things are really going to get tough. This, very, very tough for the community. We must make shukr Allah, whatever is given us, we must make shukr and carry on. But we must tie our camel, start thinking, have a bigger picture, what we want to do, how we want to do, and start looking at other avenues. Do not depend on the state, do not depend on handouts or anything. Start thinking where we'll be able to generate a little bit more money, because the time is going to come. You know, Shafat, I'm talking Ramzan just finished now. There was zakat money. There was no lila money. You ask any organization and they will tell you the same. There was zakat money, but there is no lila money. Now, how do you function with our masjid and most of our institution when we're looking for mainly lila money? And that is a big problem that we are faced with. And I'm saying to all organizations as well, start doing something to make your institute a self-sufficient one, because the time will come you won't get money from the community, and the business people are suffering at the moment themselves, and there will not be enough money. So that's going to be a problem. Try and think of ways how you can make it self-sufficient, and then you don't go out for handouts or anything like that. Allah make it in Shafa'at.
Ameen, Ahmada. You have a beautiful, lovely day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.